Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. Well, this past week I saw two shows, one on and one off Broadway. Both are about legendary music makers, one male, one female, both black. On the big stage, I caught up with MJ. That's the musical about Michael Jackson. Now, this one is directed and choreographed by Christopher Wheeldon, whose ballet background found a natural outlet in American in Paris a few years back. And the book is from the amazingly prolific Lynn Nottage. The dancing in this production works well. The script tries to overcome some challenges, but overall, well, not so much. The show starts in a rehearsal room. There, Jackson, along with dancers, backup singers, and band, are preparing for his 1992 Dangerous Tour. That's the year before he was hit with all kinds of personal troubles. The show is about seeing the King of Pop at work. I have to stay current. If I'm not moving, I get kind of restless. If I don't do this, God will give the idea to Prince. Those are just some of his sentiments. There are a few hints of those coming controversies, concern over his pill popping and quick mentions of Neverland, the new nose and whitening skin. There's nothing inherently wrong with the decision to give us MJ at a real turning point, but this one just never finds the right beat, so to speak. Yes, the audience perks up for all the reliable songs, Beat It, Billie Jean, and so on. Hey, they cheer with each familiar piece of clothing. And the flashbacks to the Jackson 5 are usually fun, if harrowing, thanks to one of those terrible stage fathers. Ultimately, the show struck me as mostly loud and trying a bit too hard. I will say it's the most diverse audience I've seen in a season of black-oriented shows. That made me realize if you tell their stories or people about people they care about, they will come. Well, then I headed to West 50th Street's New World Stages to see Little Girl Blue about Nina Simone. Now, this is essentially one woman singing, two concerts years apart, with a three-man combo behind her. The show was most similar to the one that Audrey McDonald did about Billie Holiday several years back. The first act has Simone performing in a New York venue right after Martin Luther King has been killed. I am in no mood to sing feel-good songs tonight, she says. Act two is about 9 years later, where she is performing near the end of her career in Switzerland. Though the show is mostly music, there is some political and personal storytelling in between. Essentially, we are watching a great artist cling to life. With Michael Jackson, the pills became an issue. Here they seem to be lifesavers for a while. Dare I say, I learned more about Nina Simone in an intimate small piece than I did about Michael Jackson in a big splashy Broadway production. Anyway, that's called Little Girl Blue. It's written by Leona Michel, who also plays Simone in the night performances. Crystal Joy does the matinees. Now, as for what is coming, at least 14 productions hit Broadway in April. Daniel Craig, Sarah Jessica Parker, Matthew Broderick, Mary Louise Parker, Deborah Messing, and more will be lighting up the big stages. But as you know, I always keep an eye also on what happens on the smaller ones, more experimental ones. For example, I'm thrilled that Hitler's Tasters, which I reviewed here a few years back when it played at a tiny off venue, is coming back and moving to Theater Row next month. The playwright, Michelle Brooks, says, excited as I am, it is sobering to realize that the play is more relevant than ever, with another aspiring dictator causing so much pain and destruction at this very moment. There will be talkbacks to discuss some of those issues. Anyway, you can start getting tickets now at Theater Row for Hitler's Tasters. And it seems to be a time for theater to step up and take on issues. Another one, this one on the West Coast, is called Alma, now receiving its world premiere as part of a Center Theater Group initiative to turn its Culver City venue into a theatrical springboard for local voices. That one peers inside the life of an undocumented immigrant who works hourly wage jobs as her American-born daughter is expected to take the SAT exam. Their bilingual arguments are about the value of the American dream and meeting seemingly impossible expectations to achieve it. I wish I was there to see Alma. Let's hope it goes virtual or moves to the East Coast. Meanwhile, mark your calendar for next Monday. That's the 28th. Here's something to stream from home, one also chock full of contemporary sentiments. It's called More Stars Than There Are in Heaven. It's written by John Guare. Now, he's a man behind 6 Degrees of Separation and The House of Blue Leaves and many others. And this one is adapted from a short story by Tennessee Williams, and the reading's cast is pretty stellar. It includes Jill Eikenberry, John Rubenstein, and others. The story deals with a young Tennessee Williams who arrived in L.A. in 1943 to embark on a writing career at MGM. Well, he checks into a hotel and meets its eccentric Ukrainian-born owner. I told you it was contemporary. The writer forges a quick and unlikely bond with this chain-smoking, hard-drinking Marxist. Anyway, you can find this on the New Normal Rep site. Finally, last week I mentioned that the Tony Awards are on, a date in June, for 4 coast-to-coast hours. Well, now the committee has made some decisions on what is a, let's face it, has been a confusing season. It was start and stop, and now it's pause. Among the decisions, Rob McClure and Jen Gambetesi will be considered eligible in the best performance by an actor, actress in a leading role in a musical for their performances in Mrs. Doubtfire. That's notable because that opened briefly and is still paused. Patti LuPone will be considered eligible for best performance by an actress in a featured role for her performance in Company. Not sure that's why it's a surprise, I guess, because she does not qualify as the lead. Katrina Link does qualify as a lead. Will she earn one? I'm not so sure. Harry Haddon Patton, Tony Yazbek, and Carmen Cusack will be eligible in the best performance categories for their performances in Flying Over Sunset. Well, that might be notable since the show was at Lincoln Center and did not do well or last long. Sutton Foster will be considered eligible in the best performance by an actress in a leading role in a musical category for her performance in The Music Man. I guess that means her role is not considered supporting. The role is not the largest, of course, but Sutton Foster's name is pretty stellar. Miles Frost will be considered eligible in the best performance by an actor in a leading role in MJ. Which brings me back to where I started. Now, I saw the understudy, though more accurately, the matinee Michael Jackson. He does matinees. He was fine, but not particularly special. Tony voters, now they're alerted to such changes if it affects a performer's hoped-for nomination. Regular patrons, well, they're alerted only when it comes to names like Hugh Jackman, let's say, or Sutton Foster. Well, this remains an interesting time. Some insiders say the understudy swing issue is due largely to COVID and the absences caused, trying to give more people work, etc. There's also some discussions about doing fewer shows a week. Anyway, less savvy theater goers may not care, and I'm not sure they should. Am I tempted to go back to MJ in the evening to see the probably better Michael Jackson? I don't think so. But as everyone, Jill, says about everything these days, who knows?
Who knows indeed. So, question. How are the people that you are dealing with? Are they getting excited about going back after in April? What are you feeling?
I am saying that, and I'm talking to the man I sat next to. MJ actually was from Nova Scotia. He was there with his family. Yeah, I'd say more tourists are coming in, and that'll help shows. I think like an MJ, you know, somebody that they know or familiar with the name. Oh, there's something about Michael Jackson. I love his music. You know. Apparently the Plaza Suite with Sarah Jessica and Matthew Broderick is selling out every single preview. So that's one to watch. Some of the others, I'm not so sure. And I think the big question mark for me are still the ones that are on pause. Will Mrs. Doubtfire come back? Will To Kill a Mockingbird come back? There's a third one, North Country, Girl from the North Country. Those are big question marks. And by the way, Will North Country get any Tony nominations? That wasn't mentioned. But anyway, lots of still stuff ahead. You know, there's in the end of April, they're supposed to decide about removing the mask mandate, I think.
That's particularly what I was asking about.
It's a thorny question. I talk to people who say they won't go if they do that.
That's exactly what I was asking. Okay.
Yeah. No. There are people that still not going to do that. You know, they're not seating you. I mean, you're seated right next to each other. They're crowded venues. But anyway, I saw two other interesting shows this week that I'll talk about next week, and they're both very experimental in unusual places. But again, you know, real theater-loving crowds, and they'll probably come masked. The diehards will probably come with or without mask, I would say.
And there's nothing that precludes wearing a mask for the ones who don't want to be unmasked, correct?
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And you still see people. You know, I've heard some bickering at theaters, like yelling two rows down, put your mask back, put it on over your nose, you know. I mean, there are, you know, listen, we're living in those kinds of times. People are not keeping their sentiments
to themselves.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, there'll be plenty of that. So that'll be a big thing to watch. So April is the month to watch.
But it's still feeling more lively, yes?
Oh, definitely. I mean, look, these theaters are pretty full, and that's exciting. You know, at least the ones I've gone to so far have been very full. And again, reviewers be damned. If you want to see Michael Jackson, if you want to see Hugh Jackman, you know, they don't care what any of us say.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.